Have you ever stopped to wonder what truly happens when really complex systems, like natural systems or maybe even human-made ones, get pushed right to their absolute limit? You know, imagine a population just growing wildly, or maybe some physical process getting incredibly close to a fundamental barrier, like the speed of light. What actually happens at those critical points? Do they just crash, or are there maybe some hidden forces, inherent things that kick in and keep them, you know, stable? Well, today we're going on a pretty fascinating deep dive into some really intricate mathematics that explores exactly that, how certain equations behave when they get near their boundaries, and crucially, how what they call blow up or explosion can actually be prevented. It's kind of like a journey into stability, right at the edge of chaos.
That's absolutely right. For this deep dive, we're focusing on a really important paper. It's titled Preventing Finite Time Blow-Up in a Constrained Potential for Reaction Diffusion Equations. It was by John Ivanhoe and Michael Salins. And what they found are some really key conditions that basically decide the fate of these systems. It gives us a kind of blueprint for understanding stability.
Yeah, exactly. So our mission today is to pull apart the key insights from this research and really give you a clear audio overview, sort of a shortcut to understanding these complex systems where blow up is a genuine concern. We'll look at these state-dependent forces, this interesting multiplicative noise, and a specific mathematical condition that guarantees things stay stable. The secret formula, maybe. Okay, so let's unpack this a bit. To really get what's at stake, we probably need to understand the language here first. Stochastic reaction diffusion equations, or SRDEs. Now, for listeners who follow this stuff, you'll know these are kind of the workhorses for modeling complex dynamics. But for everyone, just imagine them as these sophisticated math models. They describe things that both spread out, you know, spatially, like heat moving through metal or maybe a virus spreading, and also change locally, like a chemical reaction happening right there, or maybe population growth in one spot.
And the stochastic part is key. It just means there's randomness involved. There's unpredictable noise layered on top that can push the system around. Now, what's really fascinating, and frankly a bit scary sometimes, is this idea of blow-up or explosion in these equations. So imagine our system, maybe represented by this function, UTX, is supposed to stay within certain limits, right? Let's say between -1 and 1 for simplicity. Blow-up is what happens if UTX actually hits those boundaries, -1 or 1, in a finite amount of time. And when that happens, the model just breaks down. It doesn't make sense anymore because the forces it describes become, well, infinite or undefined.
Ah, okay, so it's like the math just stops working at that point.
Exactly. And this problem, this potential for catastrophic failure, is the absolute core challenge that Ivanhoe and Salins are tackling. How do you stop the system from ever getting there?
Right. And why should this matter to, you know, people listening beyond just the math?
Well, because it's not just abstract numbers, is it? We're talking about models for real stuff happening all around us. Think about, like, ecological populations. A species might grow so much it exceeds what its environment can handle, leading to a population crash. That's kind of a blow up in a way.
Or in physics, material stress reaching a breaking point, a bridge failing, for example. Even something as fundamental as the speed of light, you just can't go faster. It's an inherent boundary. So understanding blow up in these equations, it's really about understanding the limits of, well, pretty much everything, physical, biological, maybe even social systems.
Okay, so if these systems can be so prone to this blow up, what's the first thing the authors point to that keeps them in check? They talk about this constrained potential or constraining force, right? Represented by EVI. What's that doing? Right. So this, think of it as an invisible barrier, but a really powerful one. Its whole job is to keep the solution, the system's behavior, inside those bounds, like our -1 to 1 example. And here's the really important part. It's a dissipative force. That means it actively fights against growth. It pushes the system back towards the middle, away from the edges.
Okay, so it's like brakes.
Kinda, yeah. And crucially, this force, F, it gets unboundedly strong as you get closer and closer to -1 or 1. This is a really key point. A lot of older research kind of assumed solutions could just grow indefinitely. But here, the boundaries are hard limits, physical limits.
Yeah.
And this force makes sure you never actually reach them. It ramps up infinitely fast at the edge.
Huh. So back to the population example. If the population gets really high, nearing the environment's limit, some force, maybe lack of food or disease, gets incredibly strong, pushing it back down. And the closer it gets, the exponentially stronger that pushback becomes. Almost like a built-in safety valve that gets harder and harder to ignore.
That's a great way to think about it. It's this inherent self-regulation, working harder the closer things get to the danger zone.
But things are rarely that simple, are they? There's usually more going on. So if we have this powerful break, this constraining force, what's the wild card that complicates things? The paper talks about multiplicative noise, right? Denoted nu w. Noise usually just means randomness, but multiplicative. That sounds like the noise itself depends on the system's state.
Exactly. And this is where the paper gets really innovative, maybe even a bit counterintuitive. They allow this noise coefficient, this, to also become unbounded as the solution gets near the boundaries.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
The noise gets unbounded too.
Yes. So picture this. You've got the constraining force becoming infinitely strong, trying to pull things back from the edge. But at the same time, the random kicks, the fluctuations, are also getting infinitely strong right there at the edge.
Yeah.
A lot of previous work assumed the noise was, you know, relatively well-behaved. Like, Lipschitz continuous, meaning it didn't blow up. But Ivanhoe and Salen specifically look at what happens when these two potentially infinite things, the force and the noise, clash right at the boundary.
That's pretty mind-bending. You'd instinctively think, okay, if the randomness gets infinitely strong near the edge, surely that guarantees a blow-up, right? It'll just kick it over the edge eventually.
You'd absolutely think so.
Yeah.
It seems logical. But the paper shows, amazingly, that's not necessarily true. It depends on how these forces balance out.
So sticking with the population idea, as it nears its maximum, not only are the environmental pressures pushing back super hard, but maybe there are also huge random swings, like a sudden disease outbreak or a freak weather event causing massive, unpredictable changes in birth or death rates.
Precisely. It creates this incredibly volatile situation right at the system's limit. And that makes preventing blow-up a much, much harder problem to solve mathematically.
Okay. So we have these two immense opposing forces. The infinitely strong break and potentially infinitely strong random kicks, both going wild near the edge. What's the secret then? How does a system not blow up?
The paper gives this specific condition, right? An inequality, the plus one wicks, plus one, two, that's supposed to be the magic formula.
That inequality is the absolute core result, yes. It lays out the conditions needed for what's called a global solution.
Global solution meaning it just exists forever. It never blows up.
Exactly. It means the system stays within its bounds for all time. The model remains valid, predictive, indefinitely. And that inequality, it connects three really critical parameters. First, there's it, gamma. That basically measures how fast the noise intensity grows as you approach the boundary. So how quickly does the randomness ramp up? Second, beta. That measures how fast the constraining force grows near the boundary. How quickly does that break slam on?
Okay, so gamma for noise growth, beta for force growth. Got it. What's the third one? Eta, eta. Right, eat. This one's a constant, somewhere between zero and one. It captures something about the interplay between the noise and the smoothing effect of the system itself. You see, the equation also has a diffusion term, usually like ulk, the Laplacian. That part tends to smooth things out, like heat spreading evenly. It reflects how rough the noise is compared to how effective that smoothing action is.
Rougher noise means a higher eta.
Generally, yes. A higher eta means the solutions tend to be less smooth, more jagged, more susceptible to those random kicks. A lower eta means the diffusion is doing a better job smoothing things over, making the system inherently a bit more stable against shocks.
Okay, so let's try and boil this down. That inequality, Occam plus one, plus one, two, what's it telling us in, like, plain English?
In simple terms. For the system to stay stable and avoid blow-up, the constraining force, measured by Ockham, has to grow fast enough compared to the noise, measured by Ock. How fast is fast enough? Well, that depends on eat. If the system is inherently rougher, higher eat, then Ock needs to grow significantly faster than Ducky to compensate.
Ah, so the rougher the system, the stronger the brakes need to be relative to the random kicks.
Precisely. But if the system is inherently smoother, lower, the diffusion helps out more, so the force of voice doesn't need to overpower the noise by quite as much. It's this delicate balance.
Okay, that makes sense. The force has to win the race against the noise, and how much it needs to win by depends on how rough the track is.
That's a good analogy. And what's really neat is how this generalizes things we already knew. For instance, if the noise is just simple additive noise, meaning it doesn't get stronger near the boundary, so eta is basically zero, then the inequality simplifies. It tells you that you avoid blow-up if eta is greater than 1:1, and this actually recovers a known result. Carl Mueller looked at a specific 1D case with additive noise and found that if BIC was greater than 3, there was no blow-up. Well, if you plug in AGL was 12, which corresponds to the specific type of noise Miller considered, and Gigalaw into Ivanhoe and Salen's general formula, you get exactly KFOL.
Wow, okay. So their formula contains those earlier specific results. That's always a good sign in math, right? When a new theory explains the old ones, too.
Absolutely. It shows they've likely captured something more fundamental about how these systems behave.
So how did they actually prove this? Dealing with infinite forces and infinite noise sounds challenging. What kind of mathematical tools did they use?
Oh, it's definitely challenging. They use some pretty sophisticated techniques from stochastic analysis. One key tool is something called the factorization method.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to sort of break down the problem, decompose the solution into parts that are easier to handle and analyze separately. It helps them isolate the effects of the force, the noise, and the diffusion. They also very carefully analyze the stochastic integral. That's the part that tracks the accumulated effect of the randomness over time. They break that down too.
And they use something called stopping times. What are those?
Yeah, right. Stopping times are like setting mathematical tripwires. You define a time, say Tn, as the first moment the solution gets really close to the boundary, like exceeding 100 none. By looking at what happens just before and just after these stopping times, as n gets larger and you get closer and closer to the edge, they can analyze the system's behavior right at that critical point, right before a potential blowup.
Okay, that's clever. Like zooming in on the danger zone. And then how do they show it doesn't blow up?
This is where the really ingenious part comes in. They managed to show that the probability of the solution actually hitting the boundary within any small time window right after it gets close becomes incredibly small very quickly. They use tools like Chebyshev's inequality. That's a standard way to put a bound on probabilities, basically saying the chance of this bad thing happening is less than this amount.
Okay.
And they also use properties of something called the beta integral, which is particularly useful for calculating probabilities related to processes staying within a certain range. It helps them nail down just how unlikely hitting the boundary is.
So they show the probability of hitting the boundary gets vanishingly small.
Exactly. It decreases extremely rapidly. And then the final step uses a powerful result called the Borel-Cantelli lemma. This lemma essentially lets them add up the probabilities of potentially hitting the boundary over infinitely many small time intervals. Because those probabilities decrease so fast, the lemma allows them to conclude that, with probability one meaning, almost certainly the total time the system runs before hitting the boundary is infinite.
Ah, so if the time before it hits the boundary is infinite, it never actually hits the boundary in finite time.
Precisely. That's the punchline. It proves the solution is truly global. It exists forever within its bounds, despite all that infinite force and noise near the edges. It's a really elegant and powerful argument. See, Ivanhoe and Salen's work, it really reveals this deep insight. Even when systems have these incredibly strong forces, both constraining and random, clashing at their boundaries, there's this specific quantifiable balance at inequality we talked about that can ensure stability. It prevents what looks like almost certain chaos, that blow up showing there's an underlying order.
It's fascinating. This whole deep dive really highlights how crucial it is to understand that interplay, doesn't it? The balance between the growth of the force, the growth of the noise, and the system's own smoothness. Getting that balance right is key to predicting if these complex, constrained systems will hold together in the long run. Okay, so here's a final thought for you, something to maybe chew on after listening. What other systems out there, maybe natural ones, maybe engineered ones, might look like they're prone to failure or seem like their dynamics could run wild, but are actually governed by these kinds of constrained potentials, these hidden balances keeping them stable? And maybe more importantly, thinking ahead, how could we consciously design systems, maybe energy grids, ecological management plans, even things like complex AI systems, to build in these no-blow-up conditions right from the start? Imagine if we could guarantee stability, prevent catastrophic failure by baking these mathematical principles right into the design. What would that make possible?